turn to 1 John chapter 1, verse 8 and 9. 1 John chapter 1, verse 8 and 9. While you're turning there, let me just remind you that next Sunday we are honoring our veterans in the service, and we're having a meal after church. You don't have to bring anything. Everything's provided. So we want you to come, and we want you to eat and fellowship as we honor our veterans next Sunday morning. Amen? So what do you have to bring? Nothing. Just yourself. Come, and we'll fellowship and eat together. That'll save you at least $50 as a couple, right? Unless you're going to McDonald's, then we're going to save you $7. Amen? Off the dollar menu. I want to take the next several Sunday mornings and try to bring us to the place where we will admire and we will rejoice in the greatness of God's faithfulness. I want to try to bring to you from the Bible those things that God has revealed to us in which He specifically will be faithful in. You understand, we do not know God except for what God has revealed to us. We cannot know God except what God has revealed to us. We can know that there is a God and He has great authority and He has great power. We can know that from creation, but to know the qualities of God, we cannot know unless He reveals it to us. And in the Bible, He reveals to us in very specific ways those areas in which He is faithful. So we want to look at those over the next few weeks. Verse 8 of 1 John chapter number 1. Let me say this. 1 John is a book, a letter, that's written to believers. It is a series of tests. John is laying out a series of tests where we can determine whether the faith that we say we have in Christ is genuine or not. And he gives us these tests one after another so that we can examine ourselves to make sure that we are in the faith. And let me say this, there's nothing more important that we can do than to examine and make sure that we are in the faith, right? Because eternity hangs in the balance of that. Verse 8, John says, if we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. Verse 9. If we confess our sins, He is what? He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So this morning, I want to talk to you for a few minutes on the pardoning faithfulness of God. The pardoning faithfulness of God. I'm glad this morning to be able to tell you that if you will confess your sins, He is faithful to forgive you of your sins and to cleanse you from all unrighteousness. Amen? Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we love You. We thank You for Your Word. It is a privilege to be able to open it, to have it in our hands, and to read it. Now we pray that You would help us with understanding it and rightly dividing it and applying it so that we don't just hear this morning, but we also do. And we do because we understand the authority of these words. These are God's words. And we do because the Holy Spirit that lives inside of us hears these truths and applies them to our hearts. God, give us a greater admiration, a greater rejoicing in the greatness of our God who is faithful. Do a work in every heart here. for your glory's sake. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I think that every one of us here this morning would say that we think that being faithful is important and is expected. I hope that all of us, in whatever we do, we want to do it and be faithful in it. Amen? However, in nothing we do are we completely faithful. I think it's difficult for us to appreciate the faithfulness of God because we live in such an unfaithful world. In our society, in the marital realm, there's so much infidelity and so much unfaithfulness among husbands and wives. In the church, as busyness and pleasures press against us, we fail to be faithful to the Word of God and we fail to be faithful to the Church of God. If we were honest, we would all say this morning that there is much spiritual unfaithfulness in all of us. I want to be faithful. I think it's important to be faithful. I desire to be faithful. I just don't have the equipment to pull it off. I told someone this morning, I'm real faithful at being forgetful. If anything you can be sure about is that whatever you tell me, I'll forget it. Say amen. Unfaithfulness is the normal environment in which we live, so the idea of speaking about faithfulness is almost foreign to our understanding. But God tells us in Deuteronomy 7:9, know therefore that the Lord thy God, He is God, the faithful God, which keepeth covenant and mercy with them that love Him and keep His commandments to 1,000 generations. So the Bible doesn't even give us a hint or a doubt. Doesn't even leave room for us to doubt the faithfulness of God. He is faithful. He is 100% faithful. He is absolutely faithful. So I'm not talking about our faithfulness and how we need to be more faithful and how we need to do better. I'm talking about the faithfulness of God. Because ultimately, our dependence is not in our faithfulness, because if it is, we are in deep trouble. Ultimately, we depend upon the faithfulness of God. And He is not primarily faithful to us. The word faithful could be interchanged with committed. Committed and faithful. Being committed and being faithful. God is not primarily faithful or committed to us. He's primarily faithful and committed to Himself. Whatever God is, He's faithful to that. If He is a God of love, and He is, He's faithful to His love. If He is a God of justice, He's faithful to His justice. Somebody help me. And because He's faithful to Himself, He then also is then faithful to us. Not primarily us, but primarily Himself. And then, because of that, to us. So I think it's hard for us who live in an unfaithful world, living around unfaithful people and having unfaithfulness in our own hearts, to realize that there is one who is absolutely faithful. He is the Lord thy God. He is God, and He is the faithful God. That's the thought I want to ponder over the next few weeks. When all are unfaithful, when we are unfaithful ourselves, we have this great, absolutely trustworthy God who is absolutely faithful. Say amen. Everyone in this room today will ultimately let you down. Everyone. As much as they don't want to, as much as they may tell you they never will, every single one of us will let each other down because we are unfaithful. But there is one who will never, ever let you down because he is absolutely faithful. And I want us to feed on his faithfulness. Each week, I want us to examine another aspect of the faithfulness of God, and I want us to feed off each one so that our faith in him, our trust in him, is further strengthened and further maximized. In our text, 1 John, John is dealing with the Christian life, the genuine Christian life, in contrast with the disingenuous Christian life. And what we learn here is the Christian life is partly at least, maybe mainly, but it's partly at least about dealing with the issue of sin. You say, well, I dealt with the issue of sin when I got converted. No, you didn't hear me. The Christian life is a life where we are dealing with the issue of sin. And in dealing with the issue of sin, what I want us to discover is the importance of the faithfulness of God to forgive our sins. So let me share with you three things from the text this morning. Number one, the recognition of the believer's indwelling sinfulness. The recognition of the believer's indwelling sinfulness. Are you aware that just because God saved you, He did not eradicate sin from you? If you haven't come to that realization, let me help you. You still sin. This is what John says. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we say that through justification and conversion that our sin nature has been eradicated, we are severely deceived. What he's saying. And the truth is not in us. John is going to tell us how we are to deal with sin as believers and how we are not to deal with sin as believers. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves. So therefore, we are not to deal with our sins that are a reality by denying that they exist. Or that they're not a problem. Our sins do exist, and they're a problem. Say amen. And if we deny our sinfulness, we deceive ourselves according to the Word of God. If we think that because we are united to Christ and that Christ is in us and we are in Christ, that therefore we no longer have a sin nature, we are deceived. And the big problem is how deceived are we if we think, what he said before this, how deceived are we if we think that we can have fellowship with God while we live in our sins? How deceived is that? That I could be right with God and yet live in my sins. We cannot have fellowship with God if we walk in darkness. That's what John says. And it's not only delusional to think that we can, it's a sign of hypocrisy. The truth's not in us. That's what he says. The truth's not in us. You're a hypocrite. And listen, we cannot compare ourselves to others in the hopes of determining that our sins are not as bad as others. Now listen, I know that I'm a sinner, but I'm not as bad a sinner as so-and-so. I know I don't live, I know I'm not perfect, but I don't commit those terrible 12 or those nasty 9. You understand that John says sin here cannot be dealt with by denying it. To deal with sin with denial is self-deceptive. It's delusional. We don't deal with our sin by claiming that we no longer have a problem once we are Christians. We simply do not know ourselves very well because we really don't know God very well. So how do we deal with our sinfulness? Because it's a reality. How do we deal as Christians with our sinfulness? Well, we don't deny that we have a struggle with sin. And we don't deny that in us dwells sinfulness. We recognize that we might be saved by God, but we are still sinners and capable of thinking and desiring and doing extremely ungodly things. Sometimes we say this, I can't believe somebody says they're a child of God would act like that. Well, why wouldn't you? They're still a sinner. Say amen. And let me help you. You can act like that too. Say amen. We are all capable of thinking and desiring and doing extremely ungodly things. And I think it's when we think that we can't that we get in trouble. When we think that it's not a problem, we get in trouble. We are aware that God has saved us from the penalty of sin, but we are still struggling through sanctification with the power of sin and the presence of sin in our lives. So how do we deal with sin? Well, we don't deny it. We recognize that we are sinners. We still sin, and we are capable of doing terrible sins. Say amen. Number two. Following the recognition of the believer's indwelling sinfulness, John then proceeds to take us to the response of the believer's continual confession of sin. We don't deny our sinfulness, we recognize it, but we don't just ignore it either. This is how we ignore it. Well, that's just the way I am. My daddy was like that, his daddy was like that, and I'm like that. Well, that may be true. But if it's sin, we ought not just recognize it, but we also should confess it. Say amen. If you say you have no sin, you deceive yourselves, and the truth is not in you. If we confess our sins, so we don't deny our sinfulness, we recognize our sinfulness, and then we confess our sinfulness. That's how we deal with our sin. And the word confess here means to concede, to admit as true, or to be in agreement with God. God says your sin is sin. It's wrong. It's offensive to God, and we agree with that. That's what confession means. And so confession is the evidence in a believer's life that there is this process of ongoing repentance. Some people think, well, I repented when I got saved and I never have to repent anymore. No, you began the process of repentance when you got saved and you repent continually thereafter. And confession is the evidence that in my heart is the ongoing act of repentance. And I guess it would be the ongoing act of the Holy Spirit convicting me. I told the class this morning, I think the reason why the world looks at us and doesn't want to join us in church because it says we're hypocrites is because they've seen us mess up. They've seen us sin, but they've never heard us confess and repent. Say amen. They've seen us sin. They've never heard us confess and repent. And someone who sins and doesn't confess and repent is a hypocrite. Say amen. The Christian life is a continual confession of sin because I continually sin. Say amen. Do you know I can be preaching the Word of God, looking at you, and sin? Say amen. If you don't believe me, I'll give you a shot at it. And you prepare a message, and you get up and speak what you think is vital truth, and people fall asleep on you. See if thoughts don't go through your mind that aren't very godly. I sin every day. You sin every day. If you say you don't, you're deceived. Repentance and confession of sin are part of a normal, growing, ongoing reality of a Christian life. So the proper response and attitude of the believer toward our sin is not to deny it, not to say it's not a problem anymore, but instead to realize the ongoing reality of my sin and then be ready to confess it to God and repent of it. Listen. For churches to say and for people to say, Christians don't sin anymore. That's crazy. We do sin. We're capable of great sins. The only difference between us and a lost person is we have the Holy Spirit living inside of us, convicting us, and bringing us toward confession and repentance. So we do not claim to be sinless. We do not claim to be perfect. Instead, we recognize that every single one of us in Christ still struggle with sin. Therefore, to deal with it, we confess that sin to God. So again, repentance and confession is not something that we do at the beginning of our Christian life and we're done with it, but faith and repentance begin the Christian life, and faith and repentance characterizes the Christian life throughout. We repent of our sins, and we turn to Christ, and then we keep repenting of our sins, and we continue turning to Christ. And I believe this is true. In the process of sanctification, I don't think that we see less sin in us. I think we see more. More to confess. Paul, at the end of his life, said what? I am at the end of his life. And if Paul said that about himself, what can I say about me? Number three. We see here firstly that John tells us that we need to recognize the indwelling sinfulness that still indwells us, and then we need to respond to our sinfulness that we recognize by continual confession. Number three. We see, thirdly, that he gives us the reason for the believer's unwavering confidence that we can confess our sins to God and be forgiven. Say amen. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So we are to be recognizing our sinfulness, admitting our sinfulness, confessing our sinfulness, but we also as believers need to have confidence of the forgiveness of our sinfulness. Why? Well, because I confessed it. No. Why? Because I'm trying not to do it anymore. No. Why? Because I repented. No. Why do you have confidence that if you will recognize your sin and confess your sin, that your sins will be forgiven? Why? What is the ground? What is the foundation of our confidence? It is this. God is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. That's good news for those who know they keep sinning. That's good news for those who were just told they're capable of doing the worst. So our confidence is not in us. Shame on churches. Shame on churches that will tell people, you need to just stop. You need to quit. You need to do better. No, our confidence is not in us. Our confidence is in the character of God. My confidence of my forgiveness is in God's character. What is His character? His character is to forgive because He's faithful to Himself. You know, we might think that we need to depend on the grace of God to forgive us, or we need to depend on the mercy of God to forgive us, when the reality is we must depend on the faithfulness of God to forgive us. He is gracious and He is merciful, but His faithfulness to Himself and to His graciousness and to His mercy is what brings us forgiveness. And if God is not faithful, He must deny Himself. Say amen. You know, I thought about this. I'm just throwing this out there. I don't know how developed this is. Probably not very much developed, but I'm going to throw it out there anyway. You develop it. If God were faithful to me, not to Himself, I'm thinking I could do something that may cause Him not to be faithful anymore. Say amen. I'm going to tell you right now, I could probably accomplish that in about 5 minutes. Say amen. But if God is faithful to Himself, He cannot be anything other than faithful, or He would have to deny Himself. Say amen. And if God denies Himself, He no longer is God. So God is faithful to Himself, to His character, to His faithfulness to Himself. That's where my confidence is, that God will be nothing but God. And that kind of God that is always faithful to Himself, that kind of God who in His grace and mercy and the faithfulness to that will forgive us of our sins, that is a God that is worthy of believing in and a God that is worthy of trusting in. So God is faithful to what? To His Word. Say amen. He's faithful to His Word. He said, right? If you will confess your sins, He will forgive you of your sins. That's what He said, right? He will be faithful to His Word, because His Word is the manifestation of His character. Say amen. He will be faithful to what He has promised, and He has promised to forgive all of those who trust in His Son. Say amen. If you will put your faith and trust in Christ, He has promised to forgive you of all your sins, past, present, future. Well, how do I know that He will? Because He said He will. Well, how do I know that He will? Because He promised He would. Well, how do I know that He will? Because He's faithful to Himself. Absolutely faithful to Himself. Unlike any of us. He promised to forgive, and He is faithful to His promise, and you can trust Him for it. In other words, we can hold God to His Word. Say amen. You ever said this? Now, don't hold me to this. But God says, hold me to it. I said it. I meant it. I will be faithful to it. That's good news. That's good news. So we go to God in confession of our sins with confidence. Not presumption. Not presumption. Well, I'll just sin. I tell you what, it's God's job to forgive. It's my job to sin. Not presumption. but we confess our sin with confidence. Humble confidence, because He has promised to forgive those who trust in Jesus Christ. And the gospel is a gospel of righteousness. God has not just swept our sins under the rug. God has not simply forgot our sins. He can't forget sins. He can't forget anything. God has not just turned a blind eye to our sins. He has dealt with our sins. By dealing out the punishment for our sins on His own Son. So that all those that trust in His Son, who He has punished for their sins, will be forgiven of their sins through the wrath of God being poured out on Jesus Christ, whom they trust. So all the divine requirements for the forgiveness of my sins have been met and accomplished and satisfied in Jesus Christ. That's where we find our confidence. Not in us. Not in us quitting. Not in us doing better. Not in us not doing so bad. But in the faithfulness of God to His promise to forgive us of our sins through the work of His Son who has taken our sins and our wrath. That's where our confidence is. And that is the way we are to deal with sin in the Christian life. Say amen. Not to pretend that it's not a problem. Not to pretend that we don't have it. Not concealing it. But admitting it, confessing it, repenting of it, put it in the hands of God who is faithful to forgive because we have trusted in Christ. We are not to deny that we struggle with sins. We're not to be ashamed of our sins so that we think that God will not forgive us of them. Sin needs to be dealt with. If we don't deal with it, it will continue to come back over and over and over again. And the only place that we can deal with our sin is to confess it to God and find forgiveness in the work and the promise of His Son. Now, here's the question that I ask God in this passage. Maybe a question you ask. If God has forgiven me of all of my sins when I came to Christ initially at conversion, why do I need to keep confessing them to God? If they're all forgiven in Christ, then why do I need to keep confessing them? Right? Because that's true, right? Whatever sins I commit today and tomorrow and the next day have already been placed under the blood of Christ and have been cleansed from me in Christ. So why do I need to confess them? You ever ask that question? Am I the only inquisitive mind in here that want to know these things? Are you like my school children? You want to know and you don't know, but you're afraid to raise your hand? Well, I thought about that and I've looked at Scripture about that, and here's what I've come up with. If God has forgiven me of all of my sins when I came to Christ initially through justification and conversion and faith and repentance, why do I need to keep confessing them to God? I think there are several reasons, and here's the first. The first is that we must know that even though we are united to Christ, we still sin. Even though we are united to Christ, we still sin. And the work of sanctification is operating so that sin doesn't master. We must know that we still are weak and we still are sinners. We still must know that sin is crouching at the door, ready to devour us, but the power of that sin is becoming ever weakening in our life. So we must be confessing it, that it's there. We must be acknowledging it, that it's there. We must be confessing it to God so that we are aware. We're in Christ, but we're still sinners. But the work of God is going on in us. Second reason. How would we know how we are to forgive one another if we can't confess our sins to God and have confidence of the forgiveness of God? How are we to deal with each other? Well, if someone in here offends me or I in here offend someone else, what should I do? I should recognize it, right? I should confess it. And I should be confident that those that are in the Spirit of God will be forgiving. Say amen. It's the same way. Recognize our sins, confess them, and find forgiveness. We are continually confessing our sins to God, and we should be continually be seeking forgiveness from one another. Say amen. And we should be continually giving forgiveness to one another because we're sinners. We say things the wrong way. We say wrong things. We do wrong things. We don't do things that we should do. And we offend one another, right? What do we do? Well, we just don't say, we confess. And if we're confessing to a brother or sister in Christ, we should have some level of confidence that we will gain forgiveness. Say amen. Thirdly, all sin, whether it is forgiven sin or not forgiven sin, is displeasing to God. And we should recognize. It is this flippant attitude towards sin because we are in grace that bothers me. Yes, my sins are forgiven. Yes, what I do and sin is forgiven and under the blood of Christ, but it still is sin and it still is displeasing to God. How displeasing in it? It cost God His Son. It cost Jesus His life. That's how bad it is. I don't think we ought to make light of it. I don't think we ought to wink at it. I think we ought to recognize it's sin and confess it to Him and find forgiveness for it. We are to be continually confessing our sins because we are daily displeasing God. Understand this. The goal of our salvation is not our rescue from hell. I don't care who's told you that. They lied to you. And I don't care if they're your daddy or your brother or your uncle. They lied to you. The goal of our salvation is not your rescue from hell. The goal of salvation is the glory of God. And when I sin, I don't glorify God. Say amen. The goal of our salvation is holiness to the glory of God. And there's going to be a time, there's going to be a day, oh what a day it will be, when we are glorified and made like Jesus and we will be out of the presence of sin and there will be no need for confession, no need for forgiveness, but until then, we confess our sins with the confidence that our sins have been paid for on the cross by Jesus Christ and forgiven. Say amen. That's what we'll do until Jesus comes back. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. But if we will confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins. Why? Because He's already cleansed us from all of our unrighteousness in Christ Jesus. Glory! He is faithful in pardoning us from our sins. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we love You. We thank You for Your Word. We thank You for Your faithfulness. And we pray, God, that You would bring us to the place that we would recognize our sinfulness more and more, and we would confess our sinfulness, and we would come to God with full confidence that our sins have already been cleansed in Christ. We recognize our sins. We recognize the displeasure of you. We recognize the fault in ourselves. We recognize this is how we deal with our sins, not only with God, but with each other. So God, help us to find our confidence and our trust in a faithful God who is faithful to pardon. And we're grateful and thankful that's true. In Jesus' name and for Christ's sake, we pray. Amen.